Well, I guess there may have been some who've been away or asleep when the sermons were preached, particularly last week. But just a little recap to say that in the first book of Samuel, we're in a time of what's known as the Judges. And it's a time when everybody did their own thing. It's a bit compared to today, really, and the scenes and the activities that we've seen in recent times in our own country. Everybody was no regard for laws, or they were just doing their own thing. And Israel, the country of Israel at the time, was divided up into various counties, we call them, various clans, and there was a priestly tribe of Levi, and they had an influence in each of these areas. And one of the clans, one of the counties, if you like, was in a place called Shiloh. There was a place called Shiloh, which is centered around where we're looking at in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in Shiloh, it was the Canterbury Cathedral, if you like. It was the York Minster. It was the holy place. It was where the very Ark of the Covenant that the children of Israel had carried round the wilderness for 40 years, this ark was housed in Shiloh, in the tabernacle, the temple at Shiloh, the Canterbury Cathedral. You know, it was a religious centre. And people would come to, like people go to Keswick Convention or to young people's events, what's it called in Minehead? Spring Harvest, thank you. They would come. God bless my hastily prepared message this morning. Now, people would go and celebrate and be together, and the great religious festivals that took place. And a man called Elkanah, he himself was a priest, a Levite, and Elkanah came to Shiloh. This was in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Elkanah had two wives. They were allowed to have two wives. It did mean they had two mothers-in-law as well, but nonetheless, he had one was called Peninnah, and she had children. She was blessed with children, but Hannah, his second wife, she didn't have any children. Today, to not have children is a choice, a personal choice, but back then it was a cause of shame. And it was, people thought, well, this is the Lord is rebuking you. The Lord is, keep a doctorly eye, it's not a good thing. And this first wife, Peninnah, who had children, well, if you look at chapter 1 and verse 5, I think, of 1 Samuel, year after year, they went up to sacrifice, they left where they were, and they went to Shiloh to worship. And verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat, but Hannah, he gave her a double portion, because the Lord had closed her womb. Now this is it, verse 6. Because the Lord had closed her womb, because she was barren, she had no children, her rival wife, Peninnah, she kept provoking her in order to irritate her. That's not a very good way to worship, is it? To be in church, in the temple, and being provoked. And listen, it was incessant. Verse 7 says, this went on year after year, after year. I nearly said, welcome to married life. No. I didn't. But time and time, incessant, it was just, and you can imagine the pain of this poor woman. She was barren, she didn't have children, and she was being taunted. Time, year after year after year. And in all fairness, she prayed. Hannah prayed. God bless her. She went into the temple and she prayed and she poured her heart out before the Lord, and she was so vexed in spirit that as she knelt and she couldn't get the words out. She was struggling. Her lips were moving, but there was no sound there. It was so... And Eli, the main priest, he came in and he thought she'd come in. She was drunk. He thought she'd come in off the street. And she saw Eli, the priest, and thought, oh, well, I'd better pretend to be praying. And he said, you wicked woman, get out. And she said, I'm not wicked. And she explained her situation to her. To be fair to old Eli, he did, in the end, he did realize his mistake. He did come good. And in fact, in verse 17, he says, go in peace. He wished her shalom. He said, go in peace, and may God grant you what you have asked for. And he did. And she did conceive, and she had this little boy, Samuel. Samuel, the name, means asked of God. This little boy was prayed for and asked of God, and God honored that prayer, and she had a little boy. Little boy, and she made a vow. She said, "I'm going to, if I do conceive, I'll give him to God. I'll give him back to God." And that's what she. Well, she had him till he was weaned. What sort of age is that, doctors? 3, 4, 2 or 3? Till he was a little toddler then, and she gave him to the. But it says. Each year, now chapter 2 and verse 19, each year she'd make a little suit of clothes for him, a fresh suit of clothes for him. And each year when she came to worship, she would, each year, chapter 2, verse 19, his mother made him a little robe and took it for him when she went with her husband to the annual sacrifice, to the annual festivities. When I was growing up, I had my granny on my mother's side. They only lived 70 miles away, but it was a bus, a train, a train, a train, and a bus. It was an all-day event to get 70 miles. And so we never saw Granny Lund. She was her Granny Olive. We never saw Granny Olive, maybe at Easter, maybe in the summer. It wasn't like my other grandma, where we saw virtually every day, but my Granny Lund, we only saw, and she would make little garments for me, my older brother, and indeed my dad. And she'd always measure across the back with a tape measure, and we knew what was coming at Christmas time. And what always happened was that my dad's jumper went to my brother John, and John's jumper went to me, the littlest, and my jumper, mother unpicked and made us balaclavas. So we were all the little boy, but we know the idea. They were growing and growing, and she went and took him a fresh suit of clothes in that sense. And Samuel was growing. In fact, one of the commentators told a lovely little detail. I'd never actually noticed this before, but you've got your back. He gives little progress report. He gives almost like a school report on Samuel's progress in these opening three chapters. Well, chapter 2 and verse 11, we have the first little report. It says, Elkanah, they went back home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord. Right, that's the first little school report, if you like, the report of him. He ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Then in verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord. He was wearing an ephod, his garment. Chapter 2, verse 21 tells us another little progress. The Lord was gracious to Hannah. She had more sons, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. But this boy, Samuel, he was still growing up. And he was growing up in the presence of the Lord. Old Eli attempts to tell his 2 boys off because they were a bad lot. And then we have another progress report in chapter 2 and verse 26. It says, and while Eli was telling off his 2 boys, this little boy, Samuel, continued to grow. In stature, he's getting bigger, and he continued to grow in favour with the Lord and with men. Do you know that's the exact same report that Luke gives of the Lord Jesus? What a lovely report that is to give of somebody. He grew in favour with man and with God. Then we move to our passage, chapter 3 and verse 1. The Lord, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. He's still ministering, he's still growing. And finally, chapter 3 and verse 19, which says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up and let none of his words fall to the ground. Six or seven little progress reports of Samuel. We see him growing as he's ministering before the Lord, growing in favor with man. Is a popular little boy. The Christian life, we're supposed to be growing and progressing day by day. So we come to our passage now. Okay, chapter 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel. The boy Samuel. And we tend to think, oh, it's like we've seen on the doings. This is on the screen. A little boy. It's the same word that's used of David and Goliath, you know. And David wasn't a little toddler running around in nappies. He wasn't quite a man, but he was a young man. He was a youth. It's the same word, boy. And he went and got this pebbles, didn't he, and defeated. It's the same word used of Jeremiah. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I read it in a book this week, all right? It's the same word of Jeremiah. The Lord called Jeremiah and said, I want you to give my message to Israel. And Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. It's the word we would use today for someone who's not got the key to the door. He's not 18, and it used to be 21, didn't it? I can embarrass Harrison now, but you imagine somebody who's, it means somebody unmarried, really, a young man who's not quite, he's got no standing, really, not yet come of age. But Samuel had an unusual childhood. We've read his progress through his school reports, how he was growing and ministering and developing and getting in favour, popular young man, a bit like Harrison, a popular young man, you know. And I've recovered now, Harrison, you're still going red. I do apologise, my friend. But what a privileged upbringing he had, little Samuel. He had a godly mother who prayed for him. Hannah prayed for him, and doubtless when those years of her weaning him, before she had her, she would have told him the stories of her people. She would have told him the stories of how God led them through the wilderness, the Red Sea. Then he went into the temple where Eli had his faults. We're going to acknowledge that. Eli, the chief priest, he had his faults. But he in his upbringing as well, he must have told Samuel, you're not the only one whose mother was barren. Do you know Abraham, our father, and his wife Sarah, they were barren, and they prayed, and God blessed them. And do you know, Abraham was an old man, Sarah was an old lady, but nonetheless, Eli would have taught Samuel that he would have told him the story of the burning bush, of how God. He would have told it. He would have had a privileged upbringing in many, many ways. And we thank God today for those of us, of you, I'm going to say, who had godly parents. I'm sure my parents would have prayed for me as well, but they weren't really church. Anyway, we do thank God for those who had a good start in life, as we would say in church. But they were living in tough times. It was tough times. Everybody was doing their own thing. And week after week, Samuel would have seen this in the world outside, people doing their own thing. And even in the church, in the temple, he would have seen Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. We were looking at these last week, Hophni and Phinehas, you remember. And these two boys were the worst imaginable. They set a bad example to this young boy, Samuel, because they were... When people brought their offerings, they were grabbing the best portions of the meat for themselves, because it was burnt offerings, it was meat offerings, and they were taking the best for themselves. They got quite an appetite for roast meat. They didn't want boiled meat, they wanted the best, and they had quite an appetite for them. And even if the worshippers protested, you remember we looked at it last week in chapter 2 and verse 16, if the man said, oh, let it be burnt up first and then you can take what you want, the servant would then say, no, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force. It's like, what do you put in the bag? No, give it to me. Don't put it in the offering plate. Give it to me, and if you don't, I'm going to take it. I mean, these were a bad lot. Similarly, the boys, Hophni and Phinehas, were sleeping around in the church with the women in the church. We learn next week, Eric's preaching next week, but in chapter 4 and verse 19, we discover that Hophni and Phinehas, these two boys, Phinehas, his wife, was pregnant. They were expecting. He was a married man. He was about to become a father, but he was sleeping around. And they were a bad example, a very bad example. Samuel saw all this. the harsh words that they were giving to the worshippers. He saw their moral corruption. Eli told them off. Their father wagged his finger slightly. He said, "Boys, this isn't good. People are talking in the village." But chapter 2 and verse 25 says, his sons did not listen to their father's rebuke. Their sons, his sons did not listen. And now our chapter begins with a contrast. We're meant to see this contrast between Ophni and Phinehas, who would not listen, and young Samuel, who did listen. Who did listen. That's the contrast. So we're not in an ideal world. Even in the holy place, even in church, things can be spoiled. But the lessons for us, the lessons for God's servants today, for men and women of God today, as opposed, as contrasted with back then. Well, the first thing to notice from our chapter 2 is that we must be submissive. Chapter 3 and verse 1 says that Samuel ministered. That's the word servant. He was a minister before. He served. He was submissive. He wasn't controlled by his own will, but he was submissive to the Lord. In glad and full surrender, I give myself to thee, thine utterly and only and evermore to be. Does anybody remember that old hymn? Talking to myself then. Would you like me to sing it? No, you wouldn't like me to sing it for you. Ministered before the Lord. We don't minister before our parents. We don't minister before Eli, the priest. We don't ministered, it says, chapter 3, verse 1, before the Lord. He was in the Lord's service. In the Lord's service. He didn't serve out of habit or because he'd always done it, but this was loving, willing service, and he grew. Many of us, our parents, or well, certainly it was my auntie. It was just after the war, but went what we call in service, and they went in service. The big house. I see my auntie Marjorie, and she would walk up to the big house at the top and worked in service. It was of necessity. There weren't the jobs around, and the big house had plenty of opportunity, and she went and worked in one was service like that Samuel was ministering. This was willing, this was free, this was glad and full surrender as he progressed. And today's men and women of God we'd have a different lifestyle, really, to serve God, to progress like Samuel did, to grow minister before him, to be submissive as a willing servant. That's the contrast between Eli's sons and Samuel. Be submissive, be attentive. Secondly, be attentive. We must listen. Hophni and Phinehas, they weren't listening. They didn't listen to their father. And you know, if we're not listening to our Heavenly Father, we're not getting the orders, are we? We're not getting the instructions if we're not listening. We need to open this book, the Bible, and get our instructions. And we need to say, as we open this book, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That's what we need to, with this book. What am I talking? I'm talking about what's known as the quiet time. Have you heard of that phrase, the quiet time? Of spending much time in secret each day. Not a popular thing to have a quiet time, a daily reading, even just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and a little prayer. Some people say, even today, "Oh, it's your evangelical legalism, evangelical tradition. It's no wonder it says in chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare." Of course it was, because nobody was looking. Nobody was studying. There weren't many visions. Not many people saw the Lord. Not many people heard the Lord. Not many people were attentive to the Lord's voice or to his word. And so today it's just the same, isn't it? Young boy Samuel, the Lord was speaking, and he was only a young teenager, we'll say, And he needed help in discerning that he didn't really understand that it was the Lord speaking. He thought it was Eli, and so he needed help in discerning the Lord. You know, we need to pray for Sunday school teachers, don't we, and youth leaders, and youth, for those who are helping young people to discern, to get to know the Lord's will. And the Lord. In fact, Samuel in the end, he says, here I am, here I am. Five times in that passage, Maria read for us, here I am, here I am. We sang, well, it was from Isaiah chapter 6, that particular hymn, here I am, Lord. Is it I hear you calling in the night? That's based on Isaiah 6. But it's a similar thing, that in the night the Lord was speaking. Be attentive, listen for God. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. Be submissive, be attentive. Be obedient. Be obedient. Verse 5 says, Samuel heard Eli and ran. And ran in the middle of the night. He thought he had to attend to Eli's physical needs. We discover in 2:22 that Eli was an old man now. He was an old man. Maria read for us verse 2 of our passage. It said, one night, old Eli, his eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see. He was an old man. He could, his eyes were... next week, in verse 18, chapter 4, we discover he was heavy. He was an old, heavy man who could hardly see. And in the middle of the night, he needed help. And so Samuel came running and he said, in obedience, he said, here I am. This isn't just a chorus to sing, here I am, Lord, is it I hear you call. This is an instruction to obey. And old Eli, we can be a bit harsh on Eli. Certainly, a lot of the commentators and preachers, we can be very harsh on Eli. He should have controlled his boys. Of course he should. But I think in his own way, he certainly loved the Lord's work. He loved the temple, but it took him three times before he twigged that it was the Lord calling him. You know, he didn't have that spiritual discernment straight. It took him three times before he realized, and he said, go back. And in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to him and he said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling. It took him three times, but three goes, but he realized eventually. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And as he went back, doesn't say it in the Bible, but I have no doubt he was rehearsing his words. Speak, Lord, your servant. And then it happened. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood calling, as at other times. Samuel, a double call this time. This was urgent. Samuel, there's many double calls. Abraham, Abraham, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, lay not thy hand against this. Moses, Moses at the burning bush. Saul, Saul of Tarsus. Saul, Saul. A double call. This was an urgent double call. Needed attention. Samuel, Samuel. And this young fellow, I'm leaving the script. What verse were we on? Verse 10. Stood there and said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. He got it wrong. He had to say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. But he got it wrong. He said, speak, your servant is listening. How true to life that is, isn't it? We've all done school plays, haven't we, ourselves, or seen our children. They've only got one line to learn, and they've... when Diana got married to Prince Charles, you know, as the first time round, if you like. I mean, Charles has four or five names. She got them in the wrong order. Did you notice that in the service? Yeah, she must have rehearsed his names, Charles, George, Albert, and she got it wrong. I think she swore under her breath as well, her lips moving to you. But anyway, you know, how true to life this is, isn't it? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And he just said, speak. He must have rehearsed it time and time. And he didn't get it quite right. And God told Samuel a message of judgment against Eli's house, against the priest, for the sin, for their sin. And he said, I'm going to tell you something now, Samuel. And when it comes out, it's going to make people's ears tingle. It's going to be unbelievable what I'm about to do, because I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to bring judgment on Eli's house for all their sin. I'm going to judge big time. And verse 15 tells us, fascinating stories these. Verse 15 says, and Samuel lay down until morning. Sleep. He just went back to bed, but he didn't sleep. I expect Samuel loved old Eli, you know, he'd brought him up. And I expect Eli loved Samuel. I expect Eli... I wish he was my lad. I love this little boy. I wish he belonged to me. I wish he was mine. And this little lad had to say to Eli, who brought him up and nurtured him and loved him, you're going to be punished big time. I don't think he would have slept much that night, young Samuel. How could he say to the old man, you're at fault for not restraining your boys? But he knew he had to obey. He had to be submissive. He had to be attentive. He had to be obedient, but he had to be sensitive. Servants of God, you know, we have to be sensitive. Sensitive in what we say and sensitive in the way we say it. Because I've found in church life, and I'm sure you have, you can say the right thing in the wrong way. When we were growing up, it was the lifestyle that we had of... it was the pools, the pubs and the pictures. And if we as a young people's group were to say, oh, we're going to the pictures, that was frowned. You know, we were told off big time. You shouldn't... your lifestyle... I heard of... an evangelist, actually, who... and he was talking about football, actually. There's a surprise. Somebody talking to me about football. And he said, he saw me in the congregation. So it wasn't a private conversation. It was in a public, in a church situation. And he said, I think we'll win on Saturday, Alan. Fingers crossed. And at the end, you know, someone said, you see, depending on how you were brought up, Christians don't believe in luck. We believe in God's sovereignty. And he got a hiding from the... you know, we're all at different stages. That's what I'm trying to say. We're all at different stages. And he probably was saying the right thing, but in the wrong way. He didn't mean finger... He meant, you know, we ought to be winning on fingers crossed. And he said he just said it wrong, or it was interpreted wrong. We need to be careful. We need to be sensitive, Samuel. We need to be sensitive in how we tell people, and they're in a loving way, really. And so Samuel lay down till morning, thinking, praying, planning what to say and planning how to say it. Be sensitive. Be courageous as well. Because it had to be said. It still had to be said. It needed saying. It was a tough message, but it needed to be said. No wonder verse 15 says Samuel was afraid to tell Eli. He was afraid. It was a tough ask, really. But be courageous. Don't hide the message. Well, in fact, Eli said himself in verse 17, what was it he said to you? Eli asked, don't hide it from it. Tell me. I reckon Eli knew it was a message of judgment, but so Samuel told him everything. He told him everything, that you're going to be punished, Eli. Be faithful. Be faithful. Tell it as it is. Tell it accurately. Be faithful in what you have to say from the pulpit or in your family. Be faithful in what you say. Samuel was faithful in what he said, but did you notice he was faithful in what he did as well, in what he does? I don't know if you noticed verse 15, you probably wouldn't, I certainly didn't. It says, Samuel lay down till morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. job to open the temple doors. And it was his everyday task. That's what he had to do, to open. He was faithful in what he did, opening doors. A lot of the Lord's work goes unnoticed, you know. It's a bit humdrum, not very spectacular, opening doors. It's not every day you see a burning bush in the or other spectacle. No one noticed it. He just opened. No one notices the numbers being put. No one notices the water being put out for the. No one notices the flowers, lovely flowers. You can come and cut my lilandy hedge as well. But, you know, they're just humdrum. They're not noticed in that sense, unless the rotor officer wants you to put your name on the rotor to go on the flower list next time. But it's been humdrum, a lot of the work that we do. But be faithful, not only in what we say, but in what we do. And then finally, be used, be effective. Because Samuel was used, people realized these final verses 19 to 21 of chapter 3, people noticed Samuel, and he became a national leader, not just a leader in Shiloh, but he united the nation. It says from Dan to Beersheba. That's like saying from John O'Groats to Land's End. Dan was as far north as you could get, and Beersheba was down in the south of Judah. From north to south. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. Let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from the north in Dan to Beersheba in the south, they all began to recognize Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel, all the tribes of Israel. He was recognized as a reliable prophet who had a dependable word, an effective witness. But in those days, the word of God was rare, said. Verse 3 tells us the lamp wasn't quite out. Eli's job was to trim the lamps. The lamp had always to be alight, all the time, 24 hours. So twice a day, every 12 hours, the lamp had to be trimmed, and the oil. And it had to be re-oiled, refueled. So it was continuous. The book of Leviticus tells us the lamp had to be burning continually. And it says in verse 3 of our chapter, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, still burning, might have been getting near the end of the night, early morning, but it hadn't yet gone out. And you know, the witness, this church is, we're still in existence, there's still a church in England, in Abbotsham, a couple of churches in Abbotsham, and in Appledore and Westwardow and Biddeford and surrounds. There are witnesses. The lamp's not out yet. The lamp's not out. There's still a witness. And may we be used in Abbotsham as an effective witness and as servants of the Most High God. Would you like to see that little video again? That means yes and that means no. You wouldn't? Okay. What about this hymn then? Let's try and sing a hymn. Do we know it? Can we have the words up and then we'll see if anyone other than me knows the words of this hymn. Hushed Was the Evening Hymn. Does anybody know it? Yeah. We do. Good. Well, we're going to have a solo then from me and Barry. I'll tell you what, if you're not quite familiar with it, you just look at those words, because it's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the first verse says, hushed was the evening, you know, so it was the end of the day. The temple courts were dim. The lamp was burning dim before the sacred ark. You remember we said the ark was there, an important. Then suddenly God's voice, a voice divine, rang through the silence of the shrine. The old man, and so it goes on, but we'll We'll have a go at singing it then, Nick. Back to verse 1. You better play it once through and we'll see how it goes. All right?